Hey, welcome to episode 93 of the Hockey Free For All podcast. I am your host, Steven Stiles. And this week's show is going to be dominated by just the pure incompetency and overreaching of the NHL as a league and its executives regarding John Tortorella. I am at a loss to figure out how the NHL has suspended him or fined him when there was such obviously horrific officiating that only continues to get worse season by season in every league, in every pro sports. I truly hope that John Tortorella has retained some attorneys and is going to countersue the league for loss of wages and to recover everything. It is absolutely incompetent, the league's position on Tortorella. It's just unbelievable to me that sports has gotten this horrendously bad across decades and continues to get worse. Any league and the executives within it that believes officials are beyond question are idiots. It's just a statement of incompetence. The officials in pro sports across the board have gotten progressively worse for decades. And the fact that the league has sequestered or put some type of cap on that to be able to publicly say anything about it seems to me like a constitutional violation. What was that amendment? The First Amendment? And I don't think any sport or company or anything else should be able to suppress that. Political correctness does not exceed constitutional rights. It never has, and anybody who tries to should face a really, really harsh punishment for it, because it's a guarantee. You don't have to like what somebody says. You don't have to like the point somebody's making, but especially when they're right, too bad. Your political correction, views, feelings, sensitivity, irrelevant, doesn't matter. Tortorella's response was dead on accurate. The league, the officials have deserved every bit of Tortorella's outburst, critiquing, and reaction in this case. The officiating deserves that. The officiating was that bad. And what gets me is how can the officiating continue to get worse and remain substandard after the inclusion of video replay? How do you still get things wrong? It's on video. Go back and look at it. I mean, video replay basically should have taken almost the officials off the ice. Cameras are not going to miss things. People at the other end of the ice might. I don't know, with video replay and the amount of camera angles that they've got covering virtually every sport, you still have that bad officiating in existence. And Tortorella correctly called them out. They were horrendous. Those calls were pathetic and inaccurate. And the people that have jumped on, it's like, well, you know, Tortorella is a repeat offender. Who cares? Because he's offended yours or somebody else's feelings or sensitivity? Who lied and said that ever mattered? It's like one of those old things. It's like a TV program. You don't like it? Change the channel. You don't like Tortorella? Don't watch him. But he has an equal right to express himself that everybody else does, whether it agrees with your opinion, beliefs, feelings, sensitivity, political correctness, is irrelevant. Everybody has an equal right to express themselves. You don't like it? Too bad. Don't watch it. You know, like I said, turn the channel, turn the station. That's your problem. You deal with that. I absolutely applaud 100% the response of the Philadelphia Flyers CEO, Dan Hilferty, in an interview with Al Morganti, that he would pay whatever fine the NHL levels against him. And I'll bet he'll even reimburse, although he didn't say this part, John Tortorella's salary for missing those two games, because he completely backs his coach. And he should, because again, Tortorella's right. The league and the politically correct are absolutely not only wrong, but incompetent. And I'll bet the NHL is not going to be sending any Christmas cards to the Flyers organization, because they got it right back in their face, which is what the NHL deserves. They have so badly mishandled this. It just is a statement of the league that it needs changes in its upper executive management and its policies. It's not understanding what really matters versus what's being enforced. And there's no consistency and there's no common sense. The Philadelphia Flyers have never been my favorite hockey team or the team that I necessarily root for, but because my team has no chance of doing anything this year, I hope the Philadelphia Flyers not only go deep into the playoffs, but now I want to see Gary Bettman have to hand an executive of the Flyers the Stanley Cup just to rub this in. And I want to see Tortorella handed the Stanley Cup by whether it be Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, whoever. Now I want to see one of them have to hand the trophy to Tortorella. That will be just as bad as when Roger Goodell in the NFL had to hand the trophy to the Patriots, their head coach and owner, after Atlanta blew a 25-point lead. You never saw an executive come up on a stage so quickly. Pat Belichick on the shoulder, handcraft the trophy, and walked right off. Normally, they want to be in that moment, the media coverage, there'll never be more. I hope the NHL at that level has to do the same thing with the Flyers this year. I will laugh hysterically if that happens. And the stupidity isn't isolated to just this incident. For some reason now, the New York Rangers forward, who personally I have nothing against, I think Matt Rempe is just playing to his strengths. He's bringing his element to the game. Whether somebody agrees with or likes that element, again, irrelevant. That doesn't matter. But they're going to suspend him for a lesser or lower period of time than Brendan Gallagher. Can somebody explain that to me? That's as bad as the NFL suspending people or fining people less for domestic violence than they did for deflated footballs. I think you got your priorities mixed up. I think domestic violence is a lot worse than deflated footballs. Without question. No question about that. And if you're going to punish or you have an issue with fighting or it's like, oh, it's too violent, Matt Rempe should have been fined or suspended more games than Brendan Gallagher. That just shows you league preference and how they're cherry picking stuff with no consistency, no applying of penalties with any kind of common sense or consistency. And everybody's like, oh, well, you know, Brendan Gallagher did. Yeah, Brendan Gallagher's not known as a fighter. Anybody who thinks Brendan Gallagher is a league enforcer needs a psychological checkup, okay? He's not even close. He's 5'9", 174, maybe 180 pounds, if that. What is he, like one of those annoying flies you flick off of you? And I like Brendan Gallagher a lot. I think he's an awesome player. He's a true heart and soul team player. But if anybody's intimidated by a 5'9", less than 180-pound player, there's problems. He's not going to be confused as a league enforcer. But again, I don't even have a problem with what Matt Rempke's doing. Again, he is bringing his element, his physical play. He's trying to stir up something for his team to get the cobwebs out of their head and get them in the game, playing, so that they don't miss the playoffs. You know, you're not going to confuse Matt Rempe with Sidney Crosby. He's not a 50-goal, 100-point player. He's just not. He's a physical player. And that's one of the things that's driving me nuts. Not only has it gotten to the point where, oh, we got to get fighting out of the game and the violence out of the game. Folks, most sports are contact physical sports. Football, rugby, soccer, hockey, even baseball. You got a pitcher that throws and hits a player, there's people coming out to the mound. You know, maybe not swimming, tennis, or basketball, but hockey and football and rugby, games like that are physical game. If you don't like physicality in the sport, don't watch it, because all these people that want to take it to an extreme and get rid of everything are going to have players get hurt worse. You're going to see more hits from behind, more boarding, more blind checks, more concussions, more back injuries. Careers shorten. The games need to police themselves. Somebody goes out and purposely sucker punches somebody, that person needs to be thrown out and suspended. I got no problem with that. That's not part of the game. But you got a player protecting other players on his team, like Larry Robinson did all those years ago, like Arbor Jack guy is doing now. Somebody picks on a Cole Caulfield who's 5'7", 175 pounds, and they're at 6'4", 220, and Jack guy steps in and takes him out. I don't have a problem with that. That's a need to happen thing, unless you're rooting for Cole Caulfield's career to be ended or miss a significant part of the season. Or if Cole Caulfield doesn't matter to you, a smaller person on your team, you want to see that person hurt? You got players that need to be kept in check. That's why you can't get rid of the reactionary response of you hit my player, you're going to pay a price for it. And that part belongs in the game. Purposely taking somebody out, purposely headhunting, no, that does not belong in the game. I'm completely on board with that. But to punish, if you're going to, and this is the league's inconsistency on this issue, if you're going to punish Brendan Gallagher worse for what he did than what Matt Remke has done, again, you got your priorities very, very in disarray, okay? It's not even close to organized. There is a major consistency issue. The league disciplinary office should be disbanded, completely shut down, reevaluated, and some people that know what they're actually doing need to be put in there. Because right now, that doesn't exist. Continuing on, I also got to say, I am loving every minute of it watching people that are being made to choke on their words that wanted to sit back and critique and question and doubt Kent Hughes, general manager of the Canadiens. He continues in every trade, every transaction that he makes, pretty much has yet to be anything than turned to gold for him. He is extremely detailed, analytical, methodical in everything he does. He doesn't rush into things, even though he's got people sitting there going, oh, you got to trade Jack guy. This is his highest value you'll ever have. You got to trade defensive prospects that are going to come up and be starters on your club because you need another top six forward. No, you don't. You don't need to make any trades like that. You need to make trades that make sense. You need to make trades based on rationality, common sense, and thought, not knee-jerk reactions or because somebody's thinking, oh, the Canadiens just have to score more goals and I want to see them score more goals. The team's long-term success and continuous competitiveness and year in and year out being in a position to win the championship of their league, that's what matters. Not people's lack of patience or instant gratification or any of that other garbage. That's not what matters. That's not how successful organizations run their organizations. And I have personally enjoyed watching people choke on their words about Ken Hughes. He was not only a great hire, he is the perfect general manager for the Canadiens and has been flawless. And that is just driving so-called critics and experts, which, by the way, they've self-anointed themselves to that, out of their mind, which I take great pleasure in watching them fall hard because it is stupidity to begin with. And I have no doubt, now that the 2023-2024 trade season has passed us, I'm sure there's a lot of disappointed people that the only players that were traded is you had Jan Mysak go to Anaheim for Jacob Perreault. You had Jake Allen go to New Jersey for a minimal third round pick. And if he plays 40 games in the 2024-2025 season, it'll be a second round pick. And then you had Nathan Laguerre get traded after the deadline to the New Jersey Devils for forward Arnaud Durando. And the reason that Montreal was able to make that trade, as it's already been explained in several other reports, is that both players are going to remain in the AHL. And since they're not playing in the NHL, they weren't restricted under the 3 p.m. trade deadline of the National Hockey League's trade season. The clubs were still able to make those trades. I like the trades. Montreal continues to gain more draft capital, and Montreal gained a couple of wingers in the cases of the players they acquired and traded a center and a winger for it. And Montreal actually has more depth at center right now than they do in wingers, so that makes sense from an organizational standpoint for the rebuild. Again, Kent Hughes focusing on chemistry, line combination, depth in the organization at positions. That's what matters. That's the mark of a management that understands what they're doing and has a plan. And this probably brings me to my favorite out of everything that occurred, and that was the Jake Allen trade, because it finally puts an end to the ridiculous conversation of, oh my God, this three goaltending system in Montreal, it's killing these guys. It's hurting Montembeau, it's hurting Primo. No, it's not. It never hurt any of them. From the opening game right up to the trade deadline, it's never been a problem of any kind. Montreal was in the perfect situation to evaluate talent, not overplay anybody like has been in the past, maybe even avoid some injuries, which so far, none of the goaltenders this year have gone out on long-term injuries, which they have the last couple of years. Nobody was being overpressured. It worked out perfect. And Allen was traded at the right time. And the impact that Allen had will remain on Caden Primeau and Sam Montembeau for their entire careers. It was nothing but a great situation. Allen imparted tremendous knowledge, leadership, experience, explanation, and how to deal and go through things that they either already have or will. That information is invaluable to Caden Primeau and Sam Montembeau, and it was well worth it. And everybody's like, oh, but you know, it probably cost them a year of their career where they could have established themselves more. No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. As a matter of fact, it also gave Caden Primeau time to assimilate into the lineup, not be rushed, not have the type of games that he did last year where he was just fed to the wolves, and not on purpose, but because of injuries. Primeau actually got a chance to work with not only Martin St. Louis, not only the goaltending coach, but director of player development, Adam Nichols, and the entire staff. That is invaluable to him, as well as working with other members in Montreal staffs of mental preparedness, mental strength, sharpness, preparation for the game. I'm sure he's probably had contact with Carey Price, because you can see a little bit of Price in him as far as the way that he plays. He comes out, challenges the shooters, virtually the same frame physically, 6'3", 210, 215 pounds. Price was 6'3", 222. And no, I'm not saying Caden Primeau is going to be Carey Price. Please let's not go down that road and start those rumors, because that is just stupidity abound. Caden Primeau will be his own goaltender. But as I've said, I still believe that Primeau will, out of all the current goaltenders, will come out on top and be the number one goaltender at some point. And we've gone from a huge, enormous contract that Carey Price got. Not even going to argue any points about it. He played it. His agent negotiated it. He got it. Done. But look at the price they're now paying Montembeau, and Primeau isn't even half that amount. Now, Primeau will need a new contract before Montembeau does, but still, nobody's going to be making $10 million a year there, or even five. And quite honestly, I think by the time Montembeau plays through his new current three-year contract, some people aren't going to like this. They're not going to want to hear it. But I say Primeau by then will have either already or will step up to the number one job, and then you'll see Jakub Dabisch as his backup. And you'll see Sam Montembeau move on, because when his current contract ends, he'll be 30 or 31 years old. Is that the point that you award a goaltender a long-term contract? And especially at that point, you also have the Jacob Flowers, the Evgeny Valkonins. There's a lot of other people coming, so it'll be really interesting. I don't think Montembeau is going to be here for another contract, and I know people will take issue with that. Just my opinion. And I'm sure there will be people that sit there and go, well, what makes you think Caden Primeau is going to be the number one goaltender? Well, a couple of things. First of all, it's a night and day difference between this year and last year. And his preparedness for the game, his playing of angles, his goaltending style has changed markedly. Okay. Two, the best games that Montreal's had a lot of good games this year, but the best four have been against the Red Wings, Sabres, Anaheim Ducks, and Columbus Blue Jackets, all of which Caden Primeau has played, two of which were shutouts. He's got the best goaltending average right now that a goaltender in Montreal has had in several years at 2.83 goals against. He's got over a 900 game win percentage. He's younger, less mileage. And most importantly, I think he's got a presence. And when he's on the ice and in goal, just like Price did, here's one of his similarities with Price's. He's got that same ability to demand better out of his team. When he's in goal, watch when Montembeau's in goal, watch games that Allen was in goal for. The team plays differently, better, more consistently, and most importantly, with more confidence when Primeau is in goal. That's kind of all building towards who's going to be number one. On that note, thanks for tuning in to episode 93 of the Hockey Free For All podcast. I'm your host, Steven Stiles. Have a great week.